Let's just continue on in the book of Ephesians. We left off at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 21, where it said, submit to one another in reverence to the Lord. And we talked about that before I went on vacation. And so now we're going to continue and start in chapter 5 of Ephesians. And we're going to start there in verse 22 and just go through verse 24. I need you to hear me, though. I preached this once, and there was some lady in the audience, and what she did, she just shut down because I said, wives, submit to your husbands. That's what the verse says. And right away, she clicked off. And that's unfortunate because she didn't hear what God's word was saying. What she heard was probably her life experience, which to me is very sad. Because sometimes guys take this passage thinking, I'm the boss and you ain't. I'm superior, you're inferior. You cannot function without me. By the way, that is nowhere found in Scripture. Nowhere. Nowhere. Right? It's not a matter of superiority and inferiority. It's a matter of teamwork. And a team must function with someone leading and someone supporting. And put it that way, that's all there is. I want to talk about my wife. She adds life. She gives spice to my life. In an otherwise, I'm just kind of ordinary and kind of mundane, and I'm not full of creativity. I can take something somebody else has made and I can make it better. But my wife has this wonderful spirit and attitude, and she's ornery. This is Carrie's April Fool's joke when we were in Sandy, Oregon, serving in a church there. I was working graveyard at UPS. And Carrie was the secretary at Sandy Baptist Church. Somehow, Carrie called me at lunchtime. I'm working the night shift, so I'm sleeping. And I don't remember exactly why I answered the phone, other than she may have been leaving a message. Jim, I need you. Please answer the phone. And it woke me up, so I answered the phone. It's in the middle of my night, right? She's waking me up. So she called me. She said, Jim, I have a flat tire, and I need to get somewhere right away, and I don't know what to do. What guy does not want to be his wife's knight in shining armor, right? Being a good husband, I got up, got dressed, and headed to Sandy Baptist Church. When I arrived, I get out of the car. Takes me a while to wake up. I'm slow. I can stay up all night, but I'm slow waker-upper, right? So when I wake up, when I get there, I get to the car, I'm still groggy, and I get the jack out, and I'm getting everything out, and I'm looking at the car, no flat tire. I walk on this side. No flat tire. I think I'm still sleeping. So I walk around the car again, and there's an old flat tire. It was all a lie. So I turned around, and I started headed for the office to go have a discussion with my wife. And who did I see peering out the window between the blinds was my wife and the senior pastor, Fred Vogel. And they're smiling with a big smile, and as I'm walking back, they're laughing at me. And I realized it's April 1st. How cruel. How deviant. How smart. It's hard to catch me, Carrie says, with any kind of a practical joke. And she nailed me to the wall. So all I did, I didn't even go to the office. I stopped, put the jack away, got in my car, drove down the road. But I guarantee I was smiling all the way. Because my wife brings spice to my life. She knows how to get me, and she knows how to rub me so that I can get a little, but I'm more irritated that she got me than anything else. Didn't bother me to wake up in the middle of the night to hear her, to help her. Carrie adds life to our relationship, even if it's at my own expense. Here's another favorite story that I have. Winston Churchill was a man of the hour. He held a small little island to stand firm against an insane, violent tragedy. He was holding out until he could get some help, mainly from a family member called America. So he held strong and true. He is well known for his grit and tenacity. And probably saved the world by God's intervention, I think, by holding off the madman until the rest of the world woke up to the insanity and put a stop to it. Here's a nice gentle story about the man of conviction, the man who was the man of the hour. There is a story told of Winston Churchill that illustrates his devotion to his beloved wife, Clemie. Churchill once attended a formal banquet in London. The dignitaries were asked the question, if you could not be who you are, who would you most like to be? Naturally, everyone was curious to know how Churchill would reply. After all, he couldn't say Julius Caesar or Alexander the Great. When the remarkable man's turn finally arrived, Churchill rose and gave his answer. If I could not be who I am, I would most like to be. Pausing, he took his wife's hand, then continued, Lady Churchill's second husband. Priceless. That's how important genuine affirmation is to the one you love. Yes, this is an illustration of a husband's admiration for his wife. The same is true the other way. We need to understand at the heart of wives walking in humility or husbands walking in humility is being submissive to the Lord and being submissive to one another. That makes it right and possible to be submissive to one another. So our outline looks like this today. The title is Wives Walk in Humility. The challenge to surrender, the reason for surrender, and the value of surrender. Okay? We don't like to surrender much. You know, America, the world celebrates individuality to a very bad degree. There are so many people, I don't want to be associated with the norm. I want to be different. And so the difference gets really wacko weird sometimes. Because I want to be me, myself, and I, rather than part of the group. What's wrong with being part of the family? Okay? When we come to verses 22, all the way into chapter 6, somewhere around verse 9, there's a whole discussion of what it means to be filled with the Spirit. What it means to submit to one another, verse 21, in reverence to the Lord. And Paul, once he has taught submit to one another in reverence to the Lord, he begins to tell what that looks like in the most important relationships. Here in verses 22 to 24, it's how wives are to show their love to their husband. And then we look at verses 25 to the end of chapter 5, and that's how husbands are to show their submission and love to their wives. And then we get into chapter 6, in the first couple of verses, it shows how the parents are to be loving and submissive to their children and how the children are to be loving and submissive to their parents. And then it talks about, in the Bible, it talks about slaves and masters. It has more to do with employers and how we're to submit and love in that relationship as well. So Paul has given us great illustrations all the way from 5:22 all the way to 6, maybe verse 9. Okay, so how do you be filled by the Spirit? What does it look like? Well, a joyful heart, a thankful heart, and a grateful heart. All right? And then it looks like this in these relationships. So today we're going to talk about how wives submit to their husbands. Look at letter A. Submit to the Holy Spirit. This is where it begins. If we preach a sermon and we start in verse 22 without putting it in the context of Ephesians chapter 5, we are messing up. We are going to make a mistake. So if we look back in verses 15 to 20, it says this, be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. Making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Not gonna be, they are. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice it says, do not be unwise, but be wise. If you can remember, when we look through the book of Proverbs, the definition of one who is wise is one who is trusting in the Lord and His ways. One who is really in a relationship, a genuine, a true relationship with the Lord. One who is trusting the Lord's character and His ways, even though the future looks bleak, you're still trusting that they're right. It's a human tendency to say, I trust the Lord, but the minute we think it's not going to work out, we take it into our own hands and do it. Christian, I think we do that a lot more times than we give ourselves credit for. And I think we do it so naturally because it's part of that old nature. We slide into it and don't even realize that God is just a word in our conversation, not a relationship. We need to start here. We need to live as wise. The wise are those who are in relationship with God and His ways and are trusting Him. It goes on and says, be filled with the Spirit. We talked about that. When you're baptized by the Spirit, when you're regenerated, when you're indwelt, when you're given new life, that's all a one-time event in Scripture. But this being filled is different than all of that. It's a whole different word. It's not a synonym to all this, but it's something that says it's our responsibility to be filled. The Holy Spirit longs for us to serve the Lord, and we must choose to allow Him to guide us. We must choose to open the Bible and understand what He is teaching us. We must choose to apply what we're learning in our very lives, within our very relationships. We cannot have harmony in the marriage or with our children or in the workplace if we don't start here by being in harmony with the Holy Spirit. New life is the evidence of being in the Spirit. When you're walking in the Spirit, yeah, you're going to struggle. And I don't mean to make an excuse, but you're going to struggle because you still have that old nature. But your new nature is going to want to turn away from the old. And so when you're filled with the Spirit, the evidence is a new life. No longer do you want to gossip, rumor. No longer do you want to make a judgment without knowing the evidence first. No longer are you going to think poorly about somebody else because of whatever. No longer are you going to be prejudiced against race or religion or anything else. You're still going to hold to the truth. We're going to be encouraging. It says, when we are filled with the Spirit, here's what it looks like, new life. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Encouraging speech. We're going to be singing and making music in our heart to the Lord. Our heart is going to be singing. Our joy in Christ is going to be fulfilled and not waning. We're always going to be giving thanks to the Father for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's evidence of the new life. The person who is not encouraging others with their speech, honestly encouraging. The one who is not having a joyful heart and singing to the Lord, not making a pretend joy, but filled with the Spirit, that joy will be real. One who is not thanking the Lord on a regular basis. That is evidence that you're not filled by the Spirit. If you're filled by the Spirit, this is what it looks like. It's not maybe some, maybe it's either or. All right, so we have to start there. We need to submit to the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, you're not going to have harmony in your marriage. Look at number letter B. Submit to one another. I've already mentioned this, but in verse 21, it simply says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. So it starts with being submissive to the Holy Spirit. The result of that is being submissive to one another. It's talking about believers. Okay, that doesn't mean you get to be a jerk to someone who doesn't know Christ. It emphasizes that my children, God says, are going to get along. You're going to want to get along. Submit to one another out of reverence. This is evidence of the new life. If you know Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're going to enjoy being with your fellow believers. And I don't just mean out somewhere in the world, but I mean in the local environment that you're in. Your local church, we're going to want to be together. You might be different than me. You might think different than me in some areas. But we are focused on Jesus. Not ourselves. And we're going to enjoy being together. And by the way, being free to submit to one another is a result of being filled with the Holy Spirit. It looks like being unselfish. Unselfish. We are concerned about the needs of others. We're seeking to build others up. We're losing the need to control others or our environment. We're learning to trust the Lord with that. Then we want to go to letter C, and here's the heart and meat of what we're talking about today. We cannot get to verse 22 without recapping what we just looked at. But letter C, submit to your husband. This is a hard pill for some ladies to swallow. This is a hard pill for some guys to swallow. You need to understand. Not all guys want to lead. Tend to be a little bit lazy, right? Fear of failure. Takes too much work. We're not sure that we're capable of leading. And some of us are sure that we're capable of leading, and we probably should not be. We should be learning what it means to be submissive. All right. Talk about that word submit. It means to put yourself under the authority of someone else. Simply put, it is a military term. And in the ranks of military, you have somebody who's ahead of you, and you follow their authority, and you support that. Okay? That's simply what this word means. But here in the Greek, the construct, it's a passive, and so it is a voluntary choice of love. Okay, it's in the middle voice actually, but it's the choice of the person. So, guys, you cannot go, hey, the Bible says you must submit, because now it becomes a command. But it's in that middle voice, if you understand grammar. And what that means is, this is what happens if the Holy Spirit, if you're submitting to the Holy Spirit, submitting to one another, out of love, you're going to want to submit to your husband. It's a choice. Okay? Let's see. And by the way, it says submit to whom? Your husband. It doesn't say submit to all men. Women are not inferior in gender to men, and men are not superior in gender to women. Never in Scripture. Okay? We'll explain a little bit later how all this works. Notice, you're to submit to your husbands, and what's the final phrase, the qualifier? As to who? As to the Lord. So once again, husbands, you cannot march around and demand your wife submit to you. By the way, it's not submission. It's domination. And it is wrong in Scripture. Submit as to the Lord. Submitting to the husband is to serve Christ. Now, ladies, we're going to talk about guys next time we have a sermon, okay? And they're going to get some of the similar stuff, all right? So don't sit there and think that I'm just picking on you. It's just these are the verses we're in right now, okay? But wives, when you submit to your husband, you're actually serving the Lord. Husbands, when you love your wife, you're actually loving the Lord. Parents, when you're honoring your children, you're actually honoring the Lord. Children, when you're obeying your parents, you're actually honoring the Lord or obeying the Lord. Masters, when you treat your employees correctly, you're doing it for the Lord. Employees, when you're honoring your employers, you're doing it for the Lord. Because it comes back to being submissive to the Holy Spirit. Here are four things submission is not. I could probably add some, but these were the ones that I thought were the most prominent. First of all, submission is not. It is not something your husband demands. We've already talked about that. Instead, it is something the Holy Spirit leads you into. It's a voluntary choice. You obey the Spirit. I'm God's child, and He says I should submit to my husband, and there it goes. Letter B, here's what it is not. It is not giving up your identity. I have been in a role of helping many women through situations where their spouse is stealing their identity. We call it abuse. There's more of it than we give credit to. An abuser often looks really good to us, but in the home, he is a pain. He's a problem. At the same time, you need to understand there are women who abuse men. And so the problem is just the same. It looks different. It looks different. But it's the same. My sister called me one day, and she was just broken. Bev, what's going on? And she finally said, I don't know who I am anymore. I am lost. I don't know what I'm doing. Jim, I have no hope. And I don't know who I am. So we began to pursue. And it took her many years to finally tell me to tell somebody that her husband was very abusive. Bev, has he hit you? No. He's thrown me twice. Did you call the police? Because that's the first thing you do. Well, no, because I just need to behave better. Wrong. His behavior is is on him, not on you. And so I began to build her back up. I called my brother. He lives down there. Dennis, we need to be in Bev's corner. She's shriveling away to nothing. We need to help her regain her identity. Submission is not giving up your identity. Instead, it's helping each other to grow in Christ. Just to finish the story with Bev, she was greatly encouraged. She went off to school, and now she's a teacher, which galls him to no end because he lost control of her. She has the support of her family, and she also, if he dumps her, she can go have a job. And she's gainfully employed, and so it has calmed him down quite a bit. All right. Look at letter C. Submission is not an expression of inferiority. Instead, you're equal partners for Christ in the home. This is a new concept in the world at Paul's time. The Hebrews and the Greeks, you know, women were things. In the Roman world, they were still things, but they had quite a bit more freedom. They could own businesses and stuff. But the female had a role of being a possession. When Jesus showed up, he gave women such a remarkable lift up. And Paul continues it. It's not a matter of you're a male, so you have superiority, you're a female, you have inferiority. In God's eyes, we're equal. We have different roles to play to bring harmony in the relationship. Look at letter D. Submission is not conditional on your husband's love. Doggone it anyhow. I'll be submissive to him as long as he does blank, blank, blank. The Bible doesn't say that. See, your submission to your husband is to be because you've submitted to the Lord. Evidence of that new life is going to draw you into being submissive to him. Yes, I've already talked about abuse. There's no room for that. No room for that. And if that's happening, come talk to me and I'll help you through that. No condition, not conditional on your husband's love. Instead, it's a result of new life, of being filled by the Holy Spirit based on your devotion to Jesus. Right? And so you're submitting to your husband, not because it works well for you, but because God said, do it. And if you're walking as wise, then what you're going to do is live by God's ways, even though they may or may not look like they're going to work out. Okay, there's a whole lot more I could say on any one of those. So I just don't have the time. But if you'd like to talk more, I'd love to. So number two, submission is a voluntary act of love. It begins with the wedding vows before the Lord. Remember, the scripture talks about don't take a vow unless you mean it. God takes great exception when you don't keep a vow. The children of Israel are moving into the promised land. There was a tribe or a nation, a Gentile nation, and they wanted to, there's a lot of them that tried to interrupt the children of Israel and destroy them. Well, this one nation saw what the other nations were getting, and they said, well, we don't want that. So they dressed up like beggars and not like as a nation. And then so they went and they talked to the leaders of Israel, and they pled their case. They weren't honest with them, but they pled their case that, yeah, we've seen what happened. We don't want to get hurt. And the leaders of Israel made a vow with them. We promise not to attack you as long as you don't attack us. They made a vow. It's a vow that God told them don't make with these nations, because these nations need to be punished. They have been living horrible, violent lives, and you're going to be an instrument of punishment. But when they made that vow, the Lord told them, don't you ever break that vow, because vows are important. God's a God of his word, and we are to be a people of our word. Okay, so it begins with a wedding vow. It's very serious. And it continues looking for his best interest throughout the marriage. Not about my best interest, but about his. By the way, when we talk about the guys, he's supposed to look after your best interest. All right? So it works out, okay, when we're walking in the Lord. Look at letter D. Submission does define your identity in Christ. You want to have an identity? It's not that you're a strong woman. It's not that you're able to earn a certain amount of money. It's not that you have raised wonderful children. Your identity needs to be in Christ and Christ alone, just like your husband's. So it does define your identity in Christ. Choosing to be filled with the Holy Spirit looks like, in one way, being submissive to your husband. Hey, when you get married, you're no longer individuals. Do you understand? This is by God's design. No longer individuals, but you're a team. And your objective is to serve Jesus with the gospel message. Look at letter C. Submission does help your husband fulfill his role. In Scripture, the husband's role, he's to be a servant leader in that order. Jesus is walking, what, two or three times with his disciples, and they're back there bickering and fighting who's going to be the greatest in your kingdom. And two of them actually got their mommy to go out talk to Jesus and bend his ear. And Jesus on each occasion basically said, you have to be a servant before you have any place in my kingdom. Okay? Servant doesn't mean a slave. A servant doesn't mean useless, worthless. But a servant means I care about you more than me. So as a husband, his role is to be a servant leader. The wife's role is to be a helper motivator. A helper motivator. An effective team requires teamwork. Harmony comes when we learn to work God's way as He designed marriage. Then look at letter D. Submission is the opposite of competition. Hey, Carrie and I compete often. But it's not to the point of, I'm better than you. Although I am better than her, but she's not here. I can say that. Don't you dare tell her. No, I'm sure she figured I would say that just for fun. Good, honest teamwork develops harmony in the relationship. Strong harmony develops a strong testimony. A Christian marriage clearly presents the gospel. We're all about so many other things when it comes to a marriage and a family. And somewhere in there is the gospel. Somewhere in there is serving Jesus. But in God's eyes, it should be the foremost, the thing we do. All right, look at number two, the reason for surrender. Look at verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. We got to understand what head means. Does it mean boss, dictator? Does it mean I'm superior and she's inferior? Heavens, no, I would not want to marry somebody who's inferior. I don't need that. I want somebody who will make me a better man, and I have. Roles in marriage. We've already talked about it. Servant leader, helper motivator. These roles in marriage are not positions of privilege or superiority. Did you hear me? Your role in marriage is not a position of privilege or superiority. But it is, they are functions that create effective teamwork. It's how God has designed it so that we can work together. As we're both submitting to the Holy Spirit, then we're going to be submitting to one another. All right. Look at letter A, the right perspective on authority. It talks the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church. This has reference to authority. Yes, it can mean source, and Jesus is the source of the church. I am not the source of Carrie, nor are you the source of your wife. Okay? I didn't create Carrie. And so it has to do with authority. Headship or has reference to authority. And it's not based on superior abilities, but on divine appointment. God decided. It's the way it is. That authority is never to show dominance over another. That's a weak person who has to control. You understand the controller is very fearful, very, very weak, cowardly. Authority is never to show dominance over another, but to care for and build up others. Guys, if you're not building up your wife, if all you're doing is picking on her and tearing her down, you're failing. You're not being filled by the Spirit. You're being filled by the sinful nature. Our job is to help our wives be everything they can be in the Lord. And vice versa. Christ, as the head of his church, guess what? The authority of the church. He did everything to benefit his bride, the church. He continues to do everything to benefit his bride, the church. That's the example in that verse. Your job is to do everything you can to benefit the one you claim to love. Letter B, the right perspective on responsibility. Husband, you're to be God's servant leader. Okay? What does this look like? I'm just going to read some bullet points. It means that you accept responsibility for the relationship with your wife as well as the rest of the family and your local church. But you assume you accept the responsibility for that relationship. Far too often it's the wife that's trying to get the family to go to church. Far too often, you know, when you go and study the books that are bought and read from Christian bookstores, the huge percentage is all ladies. There's a handful percentage of guys that buy that stuff. And then when you see if they're reading it, it's even less. God has called us guys to lead our families to the Lord. I have noticed that when it's up to the wife to lead the family to the Lord, the kids eventually just splinter off. But when dad does it and does it right, they're committed. They're committed. And they continue. Here's another bullet point, servant leader of the husband. Being responsible to help her grow spiritually and personally. One who wants to be domineering wants to make sure that he doesn't lose his position. One who's being submissive to the Holy Spirit, being filled by the Holy Spirit, is one that doesn't mind for his wife to shine in glory and helps her get there. Here's another one. That servant leader is one who takes the initiative to serve her needs before his own. To serve his needs before his own. Okay? I finally bought a truck. I wanted one my whole life. Drove my dad's in high school. But I just couldn't really afford one or justify one because I had to take care of my family and my wife and different things, you know, going to school and different things. Never really making a whole lot of money. It's really kind of fun. My kids are finally grown, and I was able to have saved up some money, so I was able to buy a pickup. It feels good. But it doesn't bother me that I had to wait how many years? We've been married, what, 33? Had to wait that long before I could buy a truck. I'm okay with that because I'm investing in my wife and my kids. So now when the weekend comes, I drive my truck. I don't care where. I just drive it. I'm like a 16-year-old who got his new license, and I have to find a reason to go drive. It's kind of fun. Here's another one. Helping her feel physically and emotionally safe. Helping her feel physically and emotionally safe. This is really important for the lady in your life. Her most important need, by far, is to feel loved, security. That's how she feels it, physically and emotionally. We could talk about many different ways in which we can help her be there. I just don't have the time. Here's one more. Helping her develop and use her gifts and abilities. Help her develop her gifts and abilities. When I say gifts, I am speaking of the church. Don't hinder her. Don't hold her back. Let her serve the Lord. Like my wife, you kind of got to say, here's some boundaries, but serve away, but you're going to get too much going, and you got to help her back off a little bit. But what she needs is your encouragement. That's the right perspective on responsibility for the husband. Now, let her see the right perspective on support, or we could say responsibility for the wife. The wife is God's helper, motivator. And so wife, you need to make sure that you accept your responsibility for the relationship. See, it's just not the guy's job. Guys, it's not just the wife's job. It's a two-way street. And it's not the husband gives 50% effort and the wife gives 50% effort, because my evaluation of her 50% is messed up. She thinks she's given 60. I think she's given 20. What we ought to do is give 100% to my spouse. Here's another one for the wife, helping him fulfill his role as servant leader. I'm here to tell you, I know, when you're a leader, when the people who are supposed to support you don't, for no good reason, it is a pain. It is hard. It is like, I just want to go fishing. There are sometimes I just want to go sell cars at a used car lot. And that is not Jim Porter. But sometimes it feels better than being a leader. Your husband needs you to support. You know what that's called? Respect. The most important thing that a guy needs is not what you might think. It is respect. Respect. To help him fulfill his role as servant leader. Here's another for the wife, taking the initiative to serve his needs before your own. We talked about that from the husband's point of view. And the same is true here. We're trying to help each other. The next one, helping him feel appreciated and encouraged. We were getting into the car to go someplace, and Carrie and who was it? I think Sharon and Colton were there, and I think we were going to go tube the Yakima River. I don't know what it was. And Carrie turns around and goes, you know, I just really appreciate you. She walks off and gets in the car. Man, I could have done anything at that point. You want to talk about fulfilled me fully and completely? Out of nowhere, she just said that and she meant it. Oh boy, she appreciated me and she encouraged me to the point where I'd have done anything just for her. The right perspective. For the wife, the last one, helping him develop and use his gifts and abilities. See, it's a two-way street. Giving him the opportunity and encouraging and helping him utilize his spiritual gifts and abilities. When we work as a team, husband and wife, it is a clear message of the gospel in our relationship. And the gospel is proclaimed loud and clear. The third one, the value of surrender. And we're looking at verse 24, and this is as far as we go today. Verse 24, now as the church submits to Christ, we do, don't we? How many of you think we submit to Christ? I would suggest we submit as much as we obey God's word. And so we got a lot of work to do. But now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands. And here comes two words. In everything. We'll talk about that in just a minute. When you look up the word to encourage in a dictionary, it says something like this: to inspire with courage, to give spirit to or confidence, to stimulate with assistance or approval. That sounds good, right? We all enjoy encouragement. So letter A, we're talking about the value of surrender. It encourages him to lead. Do you realize that to lead anything, anyone, is difficult? It's hard. Because you got people who don't want to be led. More and more so as life goes on. There's always someone who is criticizing the one who is leading. Sometimes it's the very leader who's afraid of failure. So criticism, we talked about, mentioned that. Criticism, it eventually deflates hope. It chips away to where eventually things begin to collapse. Failing hope steals the courage to lead. I've watched many guys struggle with losing of hope. It's really hard to build it back up. The greatest place they can find that encouragement is by the one that claims to love them. Support. Support revives the hope and the courage. Hope and courage revived will encourage your respect for him. You got a husband and he's struggling, but you give him the support and the encouragement and he begins to rise above and have his hope revived. It just helps you respect him more because you feel more secure. It's a cyclical thing. It's a teamwork thing. Letter B, it encourages him to love well. Sometimes we got to learn how to love. Sometimes ladies have to learn how to respect or to submit. It encourages him to love well. It is not your job, wives, to make him love you. It's not your job. It's his job. It is your job to support his leadership, which fosters and encourages that love. The same the other direction for the husbands to the wife. So how do you support his leadership? You respect him. To respect means to esteem or value the worth of a person. Carrie, when she's at work, she'll go back where the teachers meet in the teacher's lounge, and she says she can't hardly stay there because all she hears are the wives just crabbing about their husbands, how terrible they are, they're stupid men, they're so on and so forth, and she says, I can't be a part of that, it's caustic. It's nothing. I was on a bowling team with some guys from a church, and all they talked about is how tough they were, and their wife was in their control, and the whole and every time the wife would call, yes, dear, and they had no respect for their wife. You need to have respect for your husband, to esteem him, to value him, the very worth of the person. Here's another word, guys, just love. Admire him. To admire means to regard with wonder, pleasure, and approval. Carrie did that the other day as we're walking from car to car. Jim, you just need to know, I appreciate you. And she runs off. I expected a hug or something, right? But she just runs off. But boy, did that feel good. Okay. This creates favorable harmony in the relationship. Now, just briefly, the last two words, in everything. Some people say that if you're in an abusive relationship, you need to stick it out because that's where God put you. Wrong. The Bible never claims that. That's wrong. Right? There's a time in which separation must take place so that the abuser gets a clue that they're not treating somebody with the respect and the love that God expects. Right? So when it says in everything, it's obvious when we understand the full context of Scripture. It means things that are honoring to the Lord. We need to, as wives, submit to our husband in everything that is possible before the Lord. Sometimes that is difficult. But it does not mean you must stay in an abusive situation for a while. I'm kind of harping on that because I have been involved with a lot of ladies helping them through that situation. Because once an abuser gets his, Carrie says, meat hooks in them, it's hard to get away. The studies I've heard say a woman in that situation, she tries 7 times, roughly, to get away. And if within those 7 times she doesn't break away, she's stuck forever. She loses her identity. She loses her hope. It's terrible. Okay. Letter C. It encourages him to listen well. That is when we surrender as wives. Honest respect creates trust. Trust is like a door that opens for real meaningful communication to take place. And by the way, if you're communicating clearly and well and in a meaningful way and rather deep, guess what? Your relationship goes far deeper than you could ever imagine. And it begins with that trust. And then letter D, the value of surrender, and this is the most important, it reflects your love for God. It reflects your love for God. Remember it said earlier, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ? Ephesians 5, verses 1 and 2, it says, be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Warren Wiersbe writes in one of his commentaries about a lady who wrote him a note, and I'm just going to read as he recorded it. He says, a Christian woman once wrote a pastor and asked, would this mean that my submission to my husband is a kind of gauge of or measure of the degree to which I am submitted to Christ? To use modern youth terminology, right on. This is dated, okay? So the wife went on to say, I realize that my submission to my husband is not my gift to him to be returned in kind, nor is it to be a subtle form of blackmail. See how submissive I was in that situation, Lord? Now what about seeing some rewards? In fact, if I were submitting to him as unto the Lord, I wouldn't care what the results were. That's God's business. Actually, a woman is never more free to be herself than when she is most joyfully submissive to her husband's authority. What a relief to be free to be what I was made for. This is God's design in marriage. But only one side of it. The next sermon we'll do, we'll talk about husbands. And by the way, verses 22 to 24 talks about wives. Okay? And what is it, verses 25 all the way through 33? A lot more verses for us guys. In fact, in verses 22 to 24, there is a verse to guys. So there's an awful lot there. Here's some applications. Wives, support your husband's leadership with your attitude, your speech, your efforts. Compliment your husband's leading rather than compete with him. Number two, trust God to change your husband into the man that God desires him to be, not the one that you want. Trust that God is going to change him. Because if you're really submissive to the Lord and he turns your husband into the man that God wants him to be, it's going to just be all kinds of joy for you. Number three, here's a job. Wives, make a list of the things you want your husband to improve in. Be fair. Every morning for 30 days, begin your day by giving this list to the Lord and trusting him with your husband's life. Then spend each of those 30 days noticing the good things about your husband and write them down. Not just the things that you've made the bucket list for, but notice all of his good things that God is doing in his life. That's my effort to challenge you to learn how to love your husbands. Father, I want to thank you for this fine day, these wonderful people. It is really good to be back with my church family. They're just remarkable. I pray, Father, as we go our way, that we go to Sunday school, that we don't forget what the Bible says. Help us to learn how to submit to one another by first submitting to the Holy Spirit and then see what that looks like in the relationships that we have. Thank you, Father, for this day. In Jesus' name, amen.